Ladies and gentlemen, this once again is a 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3, yours truly, Eddie Gritter III, host of the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. Less than 20 days until Daytona 500 goes down in Daytona Beach, Florida. We're all about the latest in the world of motorsports, mainly NASCAR and everything else miscellaneous. Gator Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and of course the NASCAR Cup Series of three biggest divisions in all of motorsports here. How we do it, recording in the MHK Manhattan, Kansas, where I do this podcast as usual. And yes, when this podcast comes out this week on our usual podcasting day, which is Wednesday, it'll be 17 to be exact for you guys, the normal listeners, and for you guys tuning in, downloading this podcast for the first time. Appreciate y'all doing that. Before we dive on into tonight's episode, of course, you can follow me at EG3_FastEddie on Twitter. That's on Twitter at EG3_FastEddie. And of course, you can find the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast wherever you get your podcast from, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Told a good buddy of mine over the weekend about it, and he immediately downloaded it to his phone. Yep. Also, Audio Boom, Stitcher, and a lot more. The 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. NASCAR season draws nearer and nearer here, as this is the obviously the last show in January before we turn the leaf over to February. Don't want to peak too fast, but man, it is coming up here really quickly, folks. On the dock here tonight on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast, kind of going to shake things up on the format. Hopefully this will be the format moving forward. Obviously the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast, obviously 3-Wide, got three topics lined up, and of course the miscellaneous, got a few miscellaneous items I want to talk about here from Manhattan. Those items coming from Manhattan, and of course one of those, Kansas City. The Chiefs made it to Miami last night. They began preparations, or say final preparations here, for Super Bowl 54 here coming up on Super Bowl Sunday. Of course, at half before the intermission, stunning news in the sports world. We'll get to that here to close out the first half of the podcast. But tonight, starting off on the low groove, the main groove, the fastest way around the racetrack. Yes, and we're going to be talking about, I'm going to talk about a little bit about Daniel Suarez. Finally figured out where he's going to go. Obviously, this has been a couple weeks in the making, but Daniel Suarez from Joe Gibbs Racing rushed up the cup, then to Stuart Haase Racing, and finally, now his next move, obviously heartbroken over the fact that he did not re-sign with Stuart Haase Racing. Obviously, he thought everything had it lined up, sponsored everything else, but everything did not pan out there for Suarez. Now, he is going over to the Gaunt Brothers Racing number 96. That's where Parker Kligerman was last year on a part-time basis there. Now you turn around, Gaunt Brothers decides, hey, we got a full-time driver plus sponsor. We've never been full-time cup racing before. Let's get it. That's where Daniel Suarez is going to start when the green flag drops on Speed Weeks 2020. Daniel Suarez to the number 96. And for the most part of me, folks, I really thought that Suarez would go to Artmore, go back down to the Cup Series, at least to RCR. They were Reddick opened up a spot there, obviously, with his progressive movement up to the Cup. I thought he was definitely going to go destined down there instead. This is kind of a little bit of shocking news for, I mean, still, for me personally here. Big D checks in here into the EG3 basement here in Manhattan, Kansas. Obviously, for those of you who are listening to this podcast for the first time, Big D is the producer of this podcast. I do some producing as well, but he runs the show as usual, and down here tonight on this cool, starting to be evening here in Manhattan, Kansas. But yeah, Daniel Suarez man, obviously an Xfinity Series champion a few years ago. Stunning. The Xfinity World down there in Miami winning that, but had a great season a few years ago down there and then moved up a cup due to the shocking surprise. And yes, shocking, stunning has been kind of the key words here the last less than 48 hours. But Edwards moving on to do something else or whatever he's doing now. Suarez moves into the 19 and struggles a little bit and kind of finds his rhythm toward the end of the year, and then obviously gets another chance there, and Joe Gibbs decides, hey, let's move on from him. So Daniel Suarez last year in 2019, Stuart Haas Racing, where he was very optimistic of having a chance to win races with that organization, making the playoffs, things like that. He did not make playoffs for in that 41 last year. Thus, now looking at his statistics here as we pull up on the big screen TV, he down here in the basement. But Suarez now over. This is kind of like Clint Boyer-ish, if you will. Here, obviously Boyer went to run a 1 year with H. Scott Motorsports, and there was maybe two or three races there. He already had good runs, but most notably, it was a nightmarish year for him in that development. So, turn the page over now to Suarez in the 41 last year. He finished 17th in the standings last year. Again, did not make the postseason, folks, a year ago. No wins, and still does not have a win in the NASCAR Cup Series. 4 top fives, 11 top tens. No stage wins a year ago for the Monterrey, Mexico native Daniel Suarez. Just in the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. Of course, that's me, Eddie Greer, here in EG3 studios in the basement. But Suarez, you got to think, man. I mean, it has to be frustrating. You're in a top, not really, not one, but two top-notch rides. Of course, Carl Edwards almost won a championship a few years ago. You hop in that ride, you thrusted into that ride there, and your learning curve is quicking up a little bit. Of course, obviously, missed opportunity a year before for Suarez at Pocono back in 2018, if you remember correctly. Suarez had opportunity there to win a race at Pocono, didn't do it, and of course, you back the page up to last year, guys, that Suarez, one race comes to mind. That was Kentucky, had a fast hot rod in that race there, and they just fell behind with changes, whatnot. Of course, I believe there was a pit road penalty involved in that race as well. So Suarez had chances here the last 2 years to seal the deal and finally win the elusive race, that cup race that he's been searching for. Has not gotten that done yet in his number 96 Gaunt Brothers ride, which originally is a Toyota, I'm not mistaken. This is a step backwards, maybe two steps backward, if you will. But, you know, with the backing of sponsorship of Suarez and whatnot, and you have a team that has not run the fool's course of the schedule, this is going to be another layer to the pancake, if you will, for that organization. Exciting for Gaunt Brothers. They'll make no mistake about it. I mean, they want to make that jump. Absolutely. Now, question is, can you be competitive week in, week out with a pretty good driver? It's going to be a challenge to see. We're just going to have to wait and see what happens in with this race team. Obviously, Suarez, this is a step back, and if I were Daniel Suarez, I would have moved back. Of course, Daniel Hemric, after 1 year's rookie year, got kicked out of the RCR Cup ride. He's been demoted, obviously, back to Xfinity with the 20 to 21 race schedule with Junior Motorsports down there. And Hemric hasn't won anything in the NASCAR level. Suarez has. So there, Suarez has a leg up there on that, but gotta be wondering there what can Suarez bring to the table for Gant Brothers? That's going to take a while, especially now when you have another hurdle, the new Gen Ed, Gen X. I'm going to say the new Gen X car. I'm just going to call it that. The Gen X car for 2021, a new car. So that's going to be obviously another storyline to follow all year long. I mean, we're not going to have the same race cars from that started from last year and keeping the same rules package for this year with the difference of the short track package that I talked about last week. If you missed the episode last week of the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, definitely encourage y'all to download that and check that out. Tell your friends about it and with all that jazz. But definitely you're not going to have these race cars. You're going to have a totally different car. The new Gen X car. I thought I knew the car there for a second here. I've lost train of thought on that car, but we're just going to go with a new Gen Ed car. Well, I'm calling it Gen Ed, Gen X, whatever. The new race car of NASCAR coming into the sport next year, at least in the Cup Series, folks, in 2021. So a lot of curveballs being thrown and whatnot. So Suarez, Gant Brothers, 96. Yeah, you got to wonder what's going to happen there throughout the season. Can that team pull off an upset there and make things happen? Obviously, Daytona, Talladega, wild cards. And we're going to talk about the schedule here tonight on this edition of 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Mainly the regular season, focus on the key dates here, as obviously the mix-up of the schedule is going to be really super, super interesting, especially in the regular season. Obviously, the postseason has huge shakeups there as well, but we're going to focus tonight more on the regular season and some key dates to keep you guys' eye on, obviously. So, again, that's another curveball for that race team. So, again, like a team like that, single car race team, and we'll see what happens. Daniel Suarez, no wins in the Cup Series, entering his fourth year in a NASCAR Cup Series. So Suarez looking for some magic to happen in the Cup Series there after missed opportunities. Definitely, Big D, missed opportunities for the Mexico man. You're in high quality equipment with Joe Gibbs and obviously Stuart Haas Racing. Good equipment, great equipment as well. And you have nothing to show for it. Moving on to the middle groove where you don't want to be in. This is the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Fox Sports last week announced that they're going to stick with the two-man tandem after Darrell Waltrip, the long time, obviously been around the sport for a very long time as a driver and a broadcaster since 2001. Darrell Waltrip last year made it his last season in the booth with Mike Joy and Jeff Gordon, and after giving, I don't know how long the process took for them to kind of talk about it, figure out what stick with these guys or add another person. Let's just stick with the two-man team of Mike Joy and Jeff Gordon. And you know, Fox, you know, between Fox and FS1, Fox Sports 1, you know, with Race Hub and all that, with all that talent they got with Fox, I'm still going to lobby it. Even though, yeah, they're going to make that official. I mean, you had an opportunity to really mix it up a little bit, in my opinion. Obviously, I can say what I want on this podcast, on my own podcast, so I'm going to roll with it. You know, Fox, they had an opportunity, and I'm definitely going to be interested to see how they're going to work it with, obviously, no DW. Obviously, in that booth, how Jeff Gordon, he talked about it a little bit in The Athletic there with Jeff Gluck last week, an article on The Athletic there. And it was mainly surrounded about the absence of DW and how, you know, he made jokes and all that other stuff and how, you know, the workload is going to be divided. I'm definitely going to be intrigued to see, especially right off the gun. They're going to have speed weeks to kind of work that out. And obviously the Super Bowl racing of NASCAR, the Daytona 500. And Gordon, he's going to have, and that's going to be, obviously Mike Joy, very good at what he does. He's one of those broadcasting legends, obviously, I've heard for a very long time, entering the sport back a long ways. And then you have, obviously, Jeff Gordon, champion, four-time champ of the sport. He knows what he's talking about. But you have all that talent from Fox, obviously. You got to go Regan Smith, Larry Mack. Larry Mack's at the race. I don't think Larry Mack at the racetrack. I don't think. I mean, going back to last year, I know a few times they showed him in the control area. So I don't know if he's actually there or not. I mean, some races he was there, others he was not. And of course, obviously they do their post race with Shannon Spake, Bobby Labonte. Depends on the crew. They mix up a little bit. Bobby Labonte, Jimmy McMurray, and those guys. But they have opportunity. I think Fox missed an opportunity here to mix it up, possibly, you know, switch it up every other race. You know, hey, put Larry Mack back in the booth because he, Mike Joy, Larry McReynolds, and Darrell Waltrip, that was the original crew when they started this thing on Fox in 01. All right. And obviously, there has now been a couple of changes removed. Obviously, with the retirement of DW now, missed an opportunity here. Larry Mack, you put him in there, a race. I mean, with this, they're half of the schedule. You rotate him a little bit. All right, Larry Mack, obviously, the Xfinity broadcast. You got Michael Waltrip and the lead man, Adam Alexander, sitting there. And they have different cup guys rotate. Keselowski, Logano, Austin Dillon, and a few other guys over there. So, you know, why not mix it up with the cup people? I mean, with the reporters of Fox who cover the sport for a long time. Mack, and I was a huge lobbyer of McMurray. Have him over there get up in the booth for a little bit. You got Regan Smith in there. So, you got three guys. Counting three guys. Not counting the rest of the world. Obviously, you got the cup guys going to be driving on Sundays, obviously, so you can't pull them out of their cars. But you have just those three guys. And, of course, you have the additional of Ricky Craven. Maybe you snatch him from... he does the post-race sometimes for Fox when the race is over sometimes. But you can pull him from that, from Charlotte, and get him to the racetrack, back to the racetrack a little bit. So I think that was a missed opportunity there. Yes, you know, I'm not the owner of Fox Sports section of NASCAR or whatnot, but I'm just saying what I feel. I think they missed an opportunity. Hey, I mean, yes, NASCAR and NBC, everybody loves their broadcast because obviously they have a total of four people up there. They divided them up. They mix it up. They put Dale Jr. down, sometimes down on the pit box down there, or Steve Letarte down there. You know, you have maybe one week you see Rick Allen and Jeff Burton, one booth, of course, Letarte and Jr. in the other, and then you see Burton and Jr. in the one booth, and then you have Letarte and Rick Allen in the other. So, again, I mean, NASCAR and NBC, they mix it up with their personnel, and Fox Sports, they missed an opportunity there. That's just me. So, I mean, I love to be different. Hey, I mean, I'm just trying to introvert here, thinking that, hey, Big D, you have all that talent. You have all that talent sitting there. And this is what we're going to get, a two-man team. And then obviously you have the pit reporters down there. Jamie Little, Matt Yoka's been there. Rhea Smith's going to be down there, obviously. But you can pull him down up from down there to the booth off. Also, and I might be missing one other, Dave Welch or something like that. Yeah, Daddy Welch, we'll call him that. But it's, I mean, you have those three, you can pull Ricky Smith from there. Larry Mack can go in there. He can make his return in Daytona 500. Hey, I'm just shooting ideas here, baby. I'm just shooting ideas. So, Fox, they missed a boat on this one. Hey, I got, you know, hey, I'm just a regular NASCAR, I'm just a regular fan of NASCAR, and this is what we're going to get, this is what we're going to get. The Fox wanted this, so this is what we're going to get, so we're gonna see. We'll have to see how it flows, how it all flows with those guys. Mike Joy, obviously, very good at what he does. Jeff Gordon, again, you know, I've already, I shouldn't have to go in to what to what he is. He's an ambassador of sport for a long time. So again, that's what I see from the view, from what I'm staring at anyway. So Fox Sports will roll without a third person in the booth for 2020. Mike Joy, Jeff Gordon will lead coverage of the NASCAR races in their half portion this year of 2020, beginning with Speed Weeks here very soon. I talked about it, I announced it already less than 20 days as we're recording this podcast right now. When this episode comes out, it's going to be 17 days until the 500 is unleashed in Daytona Beach, Florida. So, again, we'll see how it all flows for sure. Everybody's going to be watching. That is for sure. Everybody's going to be paying attention and watching to see how this goes. Everybody raves, obviously, of NBC's coverage. And, you know, some people not Fox's coverage. It's going to be interesting. This is going to be a new league, kind of an, obviously, new year, new decade, and a new look for Fox without a third person. That, but more. Obviously, that person has been DW for all those years. Now you got to turn around and really do something. But we'll see. I mean, hey, I'm anxious and excited to see how they do as a two-man team. We'll see. Two-man tandem. So, Fox going there. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Pox with EG3 here. As now, we'll start off on the high side and we'll continue when we come out of the intermission timeout. So the high side for tonight, obviously I mentioned it, the 2020 schedule, and I pulled out some key dates here, some changes here to that schedule. Obviously, I'm not going to go through all of it. I'm not going to talk about the postseason. Obviously, the NASCAR playoffs, which begin in September, obviously, and the NASCAR season is going to end earlier this year. So this is what NASCAR is shooting for, you know, trying to end earlier and all that. And that's why, you know, everybody's so anxious about our 2021 schedule, you know, with, you know, the possibility of some tracks not being on the schedule anymore and pulling some old ones back onto the schedule. I talked about the new Gen Ed car a little bit already tonight. So it's going to be something. I'm telling you that it's going to be something, that is for sure. Some start off with some key dates here. Obviously, you know, Speed Week's coming up, but obviously the Daytona 500, February 16th on Fox. And then the West Coast Swing, you know, it used to be Atlanta in that spot, but now you move the West Coast Swing immediately to that spot. So right off the bat, we're going to get our answers quickly. Who made adjustments? Daytona doesn't really count because, yeah, it's a wild card. Speedway racing at its craziness. You know, you don't know when you're going to see the big one, obviously, and anybody can win that race, but we know Speedway racers, Logano, Hamlin, Keselowski, a few more, Kyle Busch, the defending series champion, two-time champion now, going for his third. I saw a stat up here before we hopped on. Kyle Busch looking to join eight drivers who've won three championships. Moving on, of course, the West Coast Swing starting at Vegas on the 23rd of February. And then race five, Atlanta. Moving to the fifth race of the year, March 15th. March 15th, obviously, you know, Atlanta's been one of those sort of weird races that you get some crazy weather. Obviously, last year it was cold and foggy, and then there were obviously the race last year. We saw it good racing, and then, of course, they've been dealing with some weird weather in that month. So, move it back in hopes of some decent weather down south where I'm from, the GA, Georgia, Atlanta Motor Speedway, race five. That is going to be something there, and then obviously, eye opener, right, the week following that, another mile and a half racetrack is Homestead. It used to be off to the Championship 4 race where you crown a champion for the longest time. Now it's just a normal race now. Mile and a half racetrack still. Not the original cookie cutter track, obviously. The oval and all that. And this is going to be something. March 22nd, down in South Florida, it's going down. Homestead. And all this folk, you know, all the focus at this racetrack will focus on the four races for the championship. Now, everybody's in play, and we'll see. I mean, Ty Larson, obviously, he'll have a chance to really do something. All eyes going to be on him, obviously, along with the normal regulars who will be running out front. Again, the adjustments, who made the right adjustments on the mile and a half package. Obviously, the short tracks will be different. Different style of racing, different package going in. So, again, that's going to be something. Who hits it on first? And, obviously, speaking of short track packages here, last track here before we go to our intermission break here. Martinsville Mother's Day weekend under lights, May 9th. That is going to be some scene under the lights. And this is not going to be the first time Martinsville has been under the lights, because last few years in the playoffs, Martinsville has been ended. It starts in the daytime and ends under lights. But this time, this is going to be a whole nother situation here. Under the lights, Mother's Day weekend. That is going to be some scene. And I talked about that racing package, short tracks. I believe it's going to be due. Well, actually, no, it's not. It's going to be in Phoenix on that West Coast swing. So it's going to be the second time. Now, I don't have the full schedule in front of me. Second or third time that we're going to see that new short track package come into full effect. And the races last year at Martinsville, I mean, you know, beside a take away the domination, they weren't very good at all. So it's gonna be exciting. A lot of hype going down here to Virginia, Martinsville. They're gonna have it under lights Mother's Day weekend. It used to be Kansas. Well, obviously Kansas City will have their race at the end of the May month, in between the two week Charlotte, 2 week period, while the Cups, all the teams are in Charlotte doing their thing with the All-Star race. And we got a nugget on them here when we come out of the break. But yeah, so Martinsville, that is going to be some scene under the lights Mother's Day short track racing. That is going to be something. All right, so we're stage break. So before we do that here, I mentioned heartbreaking stunning news, and so it's still hard to believe. I still can't believe it. Even 40 hours later, you know, very stunning. Switching gears to basketball, the sports world, everyone stunned to hear the news yesterday of Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gigi and seven others perished in a helicopter crash yesterday morning. And I did not get this news at all until late lunch. I did not know this has happened. I triple checked it to make sure this was not some stupid joke. I mean, people want to play jokes on Facebook and whatnot, fake news and whatnot, and a lot of flack shown on TMZ for what they try to pull yesterday, apparently, and all that, and what they try to do, misinformation and whatnot. I mean, now we're in a world of social media, obviously, and I thought I had it for a second here as I scroll here while I'm trying to talk for a second here, but I mean, that's just bad reporting. I mean, TMZ, they should be kicked to the curb for what they tried to do yesterday. And Big D's on the Twitter page right now. We try to get all the names. There we go. That was what I was shooting for. Good job. So, I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. I did not like Kobe Bryant and while he played with the Lakers. Well, early in his career, really, you know, thought he was a little I mean, the dude's competitive. I mean, but he was arrogant. But hey, he had a mission. He had one mission. He wanted to be, and that goes for LeBron James, obviously, too. But Kobe had one mission. Dude was on a mission. That was to be better than Michael Jordan. And it took quite a while. And it took, for me, toward the end of his career, to hop on the Kobe bandwagon. And from there, man, being a former Lakers player, obviously the face of Los Angeles, obviously. I mean, there's no other way to put it, dude. Well, obviously, this Kurt Busch took the words out of my mouth, tweeted, this was in the same ballpark as Dale Senior when I was not even, I was in and out of the sport back in 01. I mean, our family watch every year the Daytona 500 and maybe one or two other races. We always used to watch the 500 back in the day. And when that happened, man, there is nothing. And you imagine what social media would have done back then. If you had social media back then, all this technology, Twitter, Facebook, and all this other stuff. And yesterday was unreal. I can't believe I'm even saying this now. But yeah, man, it's hard. Very hard. Kobe Bryant passed away yesterday along with his 13-year-old daughter, Gigi. Gianna Bryant. I got a list right here. John Altobelli. I'm saying that right. Kerry Altobelli. Alyssa Altobella, teammate of Gianna. The coach was on that helicopter. Christina Mauser. Sarah Chester. Peyton Chester, a teammate. Also, yeah, three teammates on here. And, of course, the pilot passed as well. Ara Zobayan, saying that right pretty much there. The pilot leading the way also passed away there. Out there going to a youth tournament, from what people were telling me yesterday. So, very, very sad. Very, very sad there. And especially the head of the table there, Kobe Bryant, and his 13-year-old daughter. My goodness, I'm at the stage. Obviously, I'm at the stage of my life right now. I just can't imagine that one bit at all. Obviously, we're right there, coming towards getting closer to the end. Well, I shouldn't say the end. We're in the middle, right in the second half of our adoption journey. Obviously, celebrated that a little bit, yes, on Saturday night, and it is very, very sad, and just getting caught up on what took place yesterday. I thought they canceled the NBA games yesterday. Apparently, they went on. I mean, I would have canceled the game. I thought one of those tweets were right. Apparently, they play all the games, and this happened yesterday morning. I would not have played, and Mike Breen, the NBA announcer for ESPN, ABC, put it perfectly. You know, he didn't feel like broadcasting. Those players, emotional. They weren't in a state of mind. Pro Bowl was yesterday. Also, after recording this podcast on a Monday night, those guys were thinking about it. Everybody was thinking about it. I was thinking about it. I mean, yes, you know, there were others. I just announced those names. Teammates of Gianna on that plane, on that helicopter. It is a damn shame that I'm even saying it. A lot of people are saying, obviously, Kobe, dude, obviously, right up there in the legendary status, right there. No question about it. That is for sure. And seeing what he's done, what he had done, as a father for his kids, something else. He, Rachel Nichols, of course, said he loved being a dad, and the actions showed it right there. And he showed it. Wow. So, definitely still to this day, still shocked that happened yesterday morning. So we'll take a moment of silence for the mama, Kobe Bryant, Gianna, John, his name real quick, right here, pay our respects, text in a moment of silence, Carrie, Alyssa, Alto Bailey, that family perished. I don't know if we have any other siblings at the time. Christina Mauser, the coach of that team, Sarah Chester, Peyton Chester, and Aura Zobayan all passed away yesterday in a hubcap crash going to the youth event. That's the end of the first half of the Throughout NASCAR podcast tonight. Take a moment of silence. We will be back after this timeout.
Podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Rewind NASCAR podcast back on the racetrack here in Manhattan, Kansas. EG3, the 3Y NASCAR podcast. Eddie Greeter III once again on this Monday, final Monday in January. It's recording this January 27th, 2020. Big D produces this podcast down here in the EG3 basement, all about the latest in NASCAR, getting outdoor truck series, Xfinity series. In the NASCAR Cups, the three best divisions of NASCAR. Before we get back on the high side real quick, want to make this real quick. NASCAR is still on Kobe Bryant here. We are deeply saddened by the loss of NBA legend Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, and all those who perished in yesterday's tragic event. With a heart of a champion, Bryant made a generational impact on sports throughout the world. Dale Jr. tweeted, quite a few NASCAR guys tweeted as well. So, and then, yeah, thoughts and prayers to, I don't know, Kobe's, the name of Kobe's wife or what, and the rest of the kids for Kobe, but definitely we need to be thinking about them right now at this time. And I'll obviously pray for the Antebellis, the Chesters, and so Bayan, the pilot, as well, and his family as well. So definitely keep them in your prayers this week, folks. All right, folks. Now, kind of a tough transition, but got to get back on the high side with the schedule. So, mention Kansas, May 31st, and then turn around, race finale, obviously, for Fox and FS1, Sonoma, and then NBC grabs the wheel on June 21st. So I had a moment there for a minute. June 21st. And then everybody's been talking about this one. I had interest in this one. But with family coming up here pretty soon. Pocono Double. Saturday and Sunday. NBC will have this. Race 18 in 19, June 27th and 28th. That is going to be some. That's going to be something right there, baby. That's going to be the experiment right there. If this goes well, like I think it should, and obviously with all the regular rules and regulations about this two-day races, obviously, and then what comes to my mind or up top of my head is, obviously, if you're a lap down, you have to start, I believe it's like vice versa, so if you fit the finishing order, so all the finishers, you finish in the back of the pack, start in the front on Sunday, and the lead guys will be starting from the back, something similar to that. I have to go back and read it again when it's time, something similar like that. So this two-day show is going to be something, and I think Pocono, that's going to be hype. I'm looking forward to that, no question about it. Saturday and Sunday, we see it in Indy, in some of those Indy cars races, or at least once with, I believe, Detroit comes to my mind. When IndyCar goes out there, you see two races up there, back-to-back days. We're going to see it here for the first time in the Cup Series. Man, I cannot excited for that. And obviously, July, Independence Day weekend in Indianapolis. I mentioned this on the podcast last week. Roger Penske, the owner of that racetrack now, making moves and not screwing around. And the Xfinity Series race being a roll on the Indianapolis road course race, and then you turn around, and this was the cutoff regular season finale, Indianapolis, and all the controversy talks about the crowd and whatnot, not showing up, whatnot, gets moved to July 5th, and then after New Hampshire, folks, two-week hiatus in all of racing due to the Olympics. And we're probably, for this podcast, probably gonna take that 2 weeks as well. We'll just see, play it by ear, see what happens there. Obviously, things are going to change, especially for me, as this 2020 moves along here. So, two-week hiatus due to the Olympics. I can't wait for the Olympics, 2020 Olympics in Tokyo, and then Dover. Dover losing the playoff race, and they moved up the date to August 23rd, 25th race, and then the regular season finale. Stop it right here, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, the regular season finale in prime time, Coke Zero 400 Daytona. Oh my goodness. Woo! That is going to be something, especially for those you ain't win yet, you got to rest your laurels on that. And we all know what could go down. I don't have to explain myself. If you've seen a speedway race before, if you thought, Richmond back in the old times where the Nextel NASCAR chase for Nextel Cup, all that, this is going to be triple times that. Two that the intensity of it is going to be off the charts. There's just no ways about it. And a chance for upset winner, somebody who can just jump into the postseason playoffs goes up 90%. There's no way. There's just no way around it. So that is going to be something else right there. That's some of your, basically all the regular season dates that I pulled out from the regular season schedule. So you start this year for the 500, and then in the end of August, in this regular season, end of August, that's about two weeks earlier then the normal schedule in the past. You end the regular season under lights in Daytona Beach, Florida. That is going to be some scene. And we're just going to have to see who has to race their way in and who's still got to fight their way in for the playoffs. That's going to, all that wrecking, everything else with big name drivers, all that. You don't got to win by that point. And you got to rest your laurels on that. Try to stay out of the crashes and all that. Good luck doing that. You're listening to 3-Watt NASCAR Podcast. Getting out of the high side. ET3 with you here in, of course, podcast in Manhattan, Kansas. Man. All right. Miscellaneous time here on the 3-Watt Podcast this week. And it's going to stay regional. So, obviously, I mentioned Chiefs arrived down in Miami yesterday afternoon in their Andy Reid-ish Hawaiian shirts, hoping to give Andy Reid his first Super Bowl championship, and also to pile on that, Kansas City's first championship in 50 years in football. Well, I mean, I witnessed it right here in Manhattan, Kansas, when the Royals finally broke bank and won the World Series title after losing to St. Louis, to the San Francisco Giants the year before, return trip to the World Series, and they hit it against New York Mets in 5, and we might be looking at history again here, but again, they're going to be going up against the San Francisco 49ers, a well-rounded team again, and again, one of the fascinating stories already I'm excited for is the Chiefs offense against the 49er defense in that front for San Francisco. It's legit. Hey, if the Falcons can take them down, why not the Chiefs? So, hey, my team, my number one team, the Falcons, took them down in San Francisco a few months ago. And now the Chiefs are going to be taking them on in the neutral site down there. That scene is going to be crazy. I'm looking forward to this. Hopefully, this game lives up to the hype. Unlike last year's Super Bowl, it was just boring-ass Super Bowl with the Patriots. Yeah, the Patriots won it, but that Super Bowl, I mean, it got excited toward the end, but that overall, that Super Bowl was boring. Hopefully, you know, all the hype, Chiefs Spirit Week this week up here in Manhattan, Kansas City, obviously, Topeka, everybody connected with the Chiefs. Spirit Week over here, up here in the Midwest. It's gonna be big. It's gonna be lit, man. Tell you, Chiefs pulled this off, man. This train, the party train is gonna be rolling for quite some time. 50 years, they broke it. Drought, big. These are been hyped up already. Hey, I'm getting pumped up here. And hey, man, Kansas City Chiefs, Mahomes, Hill, Tyreek Hill, Kelce, Damon Williams, Frank Clark, Matthew Sorensen, them guys, they got a chance to do something, but they're going to be up against it. And I know how Kyle Shanahan is because he was offensive coordinator in 16. He was offensive coordinator in 16 when the Falcons went to the Super Bowl there. And we all know what happened there. Not going to dig too deep a hole with that. But, hey, I mean, this is a tremendous opportunity for those guys, and I'm excited for those guys and excited for this game. And I hope it does live up to the billing, man. Miami, all that surrounds the 49ers have won 5 Super Bowls, something like that, going for another. Chiefs looking to finally get their Super Bowl since back in the old school days, folks. So looking forward to that matchup. Moving on, continue with the miscellaneous items here. Number 2, man, this game, man, Big D, you were there. Watching on the court, though, but this game in Manhattan, Kansas. Okay, so for those of you not really familiar with this team, obviously I call games on Angel 95, a popular Christian radio station / talk show news station here in town. Very, very good station. I'm a part of now. I call games for Flint Hills Christian School, and the school we live about 10 minutes away from the school. School's all on the other side of town, so it's a Christian school from I don't know what grades they managed it in, but it's school from young to old. So you're young and you finish out as a senior, so it's basically a K-12 school. Basically, I'm just going to put it like that. But, yeah, man, this game, Flint Hills, Chief is a home school. Basically, it's another home. We'll put it like this. It's a home school where they have their own football team, homeschooled. And they have a basketball team. They have a volleyball team as well. So these kids form a team called Chief with obviously they're homeschooled. A lot of people volunteer, and I had the privilege to be the PA announcer for Chief football games for a couple of years, so I know quite a few of those guys. And now this basketball game was something. Flint Hills was up by, I believe, by more than 10 points at some point. I can't remember the point of smart because this game was so good. This thing, the cameraman's son was down on the court. Obviously, he's one of the leading scorers, if not the leading scorer so far this year. He's been spectacular this year, along with a couple of others. And we had another guy that does Chief games on the radio, also on the same station that I'm on, Angel 95, when Chief is at home. That and the person of Ron Wilson, he was up there as well doing a little spotting for me. So if this was the other way around, Ron Wilson would have did a game and I would have done some spotting. That's what Jared's trying to do, probably. I know he was trying to get some of us on for sure, but that couldn't happen because of his mic or whatever didn't work. We didn't want to screw anything up there, but the booth up there was going crazy. I was going crazy. The students, the parents, the atmosphere was on fire. Yeah, I tell you, the school was lit, man. This is one of my favorite calls of out of football and basketball. I mean, right up there. If I had to listen now, it would be top three, maybe top two for sure, no doubt. Flint Hills forcing overtime, 10 seconds left. David Wilkinson, 8th grader, puts up a runner in the baseline with 5 seconds left, puts it in, forces overtime, and then the start of overtime, back and forth we go, 2-pointer, deep 3 in the corner, and then huge free throw shots late, and then a turnover sealed the game for Flint Hills, took down Chief, and you want to put it as you will, friendly cross rivals, I named it that. Over the air, 62-60 in overtime. Chief fought their way back into the game and a few points of the game, took the lead. It was a back and forth yo-yo game. It's that type of game, yo. Kids, students were into it. We were into it. The booth was into it. It was just a tremendous atmosphere. You're listening to the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast here, winding down coverage of the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. All right, so last but not least, the chaos hit around the world. KU, K-State, last week. And yeah, I'm pretty sure all you guys saw videotape, whatnot, went down. Yeah, and I still, you know, suspension's handed out. I'm going to keep this brief here. But yeah, Silvio De Sousa, yeah, I thought he should never stepped on the court again for Kansas. Absolutely ludicrous. Trying to put up a stool and try to threaten somebody with it. And not only that, trying to attack somebody with it. And thank goodness that I believe the assistant coach for KU stepped in there and at least distracted them and took that thing down. He was going to hit somebody with that stool. That's just no way out of act, man. And yeah, KU was dominant all night long. I did not see the fight initially. Got in the car. This was the same night that the game, that thrilling game coming off of that. So I was already hyped up, and this made me even more amped hearing it from Wyatt Thompson and Stan Weber and what took place in Lawrence, Kansas. Ugly scene down there, and all that mess from KU. KU's in a lot of trouble. Not going to dive into that. No, don't have time for that. But, you know, KU and their allegations in basketball and whatnot, you know, this is all they got is basketball. They are a sorry football program and things like that. So and this mess just adds on to that, you know what I mean? Yes, Sosa, he should have not been playing. I don't care if you give him 10 or 12 games, whatnot, he should not step in 2K uniform ever again after that. And then, yeah, McCormick, he should have been suspended even more. Little two-game suspension. He should have been at least add on two more. Antonio's was, yeah, questionable. And then James Love, he don't play no-how. So we haven't seen him probably but maybe twice in his career at K-State on the basketball court, ladies and gentlemen. You're laughing. And it's true. I mean, and I agree with Fran Fraschilla. That's the fastest I've seen that dude move since being in Manhattan, Kansas, since being a K-State basketball player. So he spent all his time on the bench, hurt. So Yeah, folks. It was very intense and, yeah, very, very ugly. Seeing it makes you wonder, February 29th, you know, it's going to be, with all that's happened, we'll have to see. I mean, we'll see, man. You can't cancel that game, so it's not going to be canceled, obviously, but hey, you got to learn from it, move on. KU, K-State, one of the better basketball rivalries in the country, and this is going to spice things up, that's for sure. I'm obviously having a rough year in the basketball side of things, people not living up to expectations and whatnot, so it's going to be interesting. That is for sure. You can follow me at EG3_FastEddie on Twitter. And, of course, at EG3_FastEddie. And you can find a 3Y NASCAR podcast wherever you download your podcast from, whether it's from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, SoundCloud. We're there. We're also there as well, Stitcher, and plenty more. Big D, it is time to break this thing. Now you know what it is. Man, it's been a pack. Show this evening on this Monday. Cannot wait to get this out to you guys. And then next week, we got something special cooked up for y'all for next week's edition of Through Our Podcast. You do not want to miss that. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a wrap for another edition of 3Y NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Thanks, Big D, for coming over tonight as usual. And thank you guys for tuning in tonight for the 3Y NASCAR Podcast. Again, getting closer to Daytona, man. And the next time we're on, we're going to be, Lord willing, it's going to be February. Wow, something else. Again, folks, Daytona 500, February 16th on Fox. Mike Joy, Jeff Gordon, and the rest of the Fox crew will bring you the exciting action on the high banks of Daytona. But for right now, we're still in the off-season mode. EG3 signing out. You have been listening to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.
Spotify, and more. We'll see you next time going 3Y.